Good afternoon, everybody. Brian Newbert here again in my box here at home. It's Friday, April 17th, I think. This is your goldenblack.com daily quarantine for Friday, and it is brought to you by Follett's Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. I want to remind you, as always, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant in Lafayette, as well as our friends of the business, Arnie's, Bruno's, and the Whitaker Inn, all remain open for carryout orders. So if you're looking for damn good food, as well as an opportunity to support local businesses, please keep them in mind. The 6th Street Dive Restaurant, Arnie's, Bruno's, and the Whitaker Inn. Also, if you're accessing this video on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to our channel. One day normalcy will resume, and we will continue putting Purdue stuff on there, and you'll want to see that when it comes live. So be sure to hit that subscribe button. If you're new to the show, I've exhausted, you may not be aware, I've exhausted quite a few topics already here over the last 6-7 years, however long this has been, and have asked people for suggestions on things to talk about. And I got an email from Kyle, and I appreciate you watching and listening, Kyle, about red shirts in basketball. And I figured I would use today to talk about that topic, because for the past 6 months, it has been a very popular topic. The specific question here from Kyle was whether or not the graduate transfer allowances in college basketball would deter Matt Painter from redshirting players. The obvious first answer there is obviously not, because he's made it quite a part of his program here the last few years. I think there's obviously Sasha Stefanovic and Aaron Wheeler redshirted as freshmen this past season. Brandon Newman and Mason Gillis both as true freshmen redshirted. It's something I think he wants to do as a practice. Obviously, if a kid is good enough to make you better in a demonstrable way, right away, that kid is playing. There's no way around that. Coach's immediate loyalty is to the present. But I think Matt Painter is definitely one of those coaches who will, if all things are equal and it's not an obvious decision that a kid can help you right away, and I will add, all of the 2021 kids Purdue's recruiting are all guys who will play right away no matter what, I think. He wants to maximize, he wants to give the student athlete, the player, if you will, every opportunity to maximize their value during their college career. So he wants to make sure that players have an opportunity to have a really productive fifth year, senior year, as opposed to a barely productive freshman year. And there are numerous examples he would point to. For years, it was Ryan Smith, who barely played as a freshman, didn't really affect winning or losing in any way, shape, or form that year. And then by the time he was a fourth-year senior, was a pretty good player on a team that went to the NCAA tournament, almost beat Kansas in the second round. Having him back the following year as a fifth-year senior, once he'd kind of grown up from a physical perspective, had gotten to the point in time where he could play at a really high level, he was done. And for years, that was sort of the face of regret for Matt Painter. In my opinion, that face should now be Ryan Klein, because Ryan Klein probably won a game as a freshman. He made a bunch of shots at Pittsburgh that year. You don't know what would have happened if somebody else was taking those shots, but he at least did affect winning and losing in at least one game that year. You did need him more toward the back half of the season than you did at the front half. But Purdue didn't win an NCAA tournament game that year. This past season, when Ryan Klein would have been a fifth-year senior, he would have been the same player, if not a better player, he was on last year's team. And to me, Ryan Klein on the 16-15 Purdue team, again, I've said this in a number of places, is the difference between 16-15 and 22-9, if my math is correct there. I think he would have made all the difference in the world for this particular team. So I think he's kind of that new face of redshirt regret. In terms of whether or not the graduate transfer allowances would deter Painter from doing this in the future, no. I think that's obviously, there's some inherent risk baked into it. I don't think it's a deterrent. I think if a player nine times out of 10, a player is going to, when he transfers, is going to try to move up or move into a bigger opportunity. To that end, moving up from Purdue is a really difficult thing because Purdue is at a pretty high level and one of the best conferences in college basketball, a pretty good program. You would have to go from a Purdue to like a Duke or a Kentucky or another program like that that would be generally viewed as a bigger stage than the one Purdue can offer. And there aren't very many of those sorts of programs. If a kid's looking for a bigger opportunity, that means his opportunity he would be walking out of would be limited. I think Matt Harms is a really unique case in the sense that he's a starter caliber player who really was only going to play, you know, 20 minutes a game at best next season, most likely. He wanted more, can't blame him. That's a very unique case because nine times out of 10, a player as good as Matt Harms is a starter, is a 30-minute a game guy wherever he is. It just so happens that he was Purdue's backup center. And I think that kind of got lost a little bit in all of the fallout from Harms leaving is that he was Purdue's backup center. And there was only so much he was going to do from a playing time and opportunity perspective next season. You can't blame him necessarily for looking for more if that's what motivates him. That is a very unique case of a player that good at that point in his career whose opportunity is going to be limited. So I guess the point I'm trying to make here is that if a kid leaves and he's not a contributor at that stage of his career, you've lost a non-contributor. What have you lost then? If a kid is a contributor, you know, chances are he's not going to leave. It just so happens that Matt Harms has a very good player he was going to back up next season in Travion Williams. So really, when you kind of look at it that way, the peril at a place like Purdue maybe is not so much as acute as it would be at a smaller program. If you're a mid-major, no, you cannot redshirt players. If you're a low major, you cannot redshirt players because that player will develop. You will put all the time into that kid. You will make him the player ideally you want him to be, and then that kid will bolt for a high major. That is the fly in the ointment for the NCAA. The way the NCAA, at least in basketball, kind of cannibalizes itself. The big ones are eating the little ones every single year. And it is really kind of fundamentally unfair, but it is, I guess, kind of the nature of the system, kind of the nature of life in this sense. But programs like Purdue should be relatively insulated from that. In terms of the graduate transfers who left Purdue, I can itemize them for you right now. Matt Harms, I just talked about him, obviously. He was a unique case as a redshirt, too. He had to redshirt as a freshman because from an eligibility perspective, he would have lost a year of eligibility had he waited until the following year to come because of his age, because of his, I can't remember the exact story, but it was mostly due to his age and his experience playing overseas, whatever it may have been. There was no choice there but to redshirt him. Sandy Marchuch was another one Purdue wanted back, who they redshirted. He redshirted because of a foot injury. His freshman year, Purdue wanted him back. He left because he wanted to be a starter somewhere, because he wanted to play professionally overseas, and the thinking in his circle and the sound logic was that if you're not a starter at the college level, you're not going to get a pro contract overseas. That's the simple reason he transferred, again, a backup. Purdue wanted him back as a backup, but you did not necessarily lose an impact player there. Jaquiel Taylor a few years ago left. You know, Purdue, he was redundant on Purdue's roster at the time. Purdue liked the kid. Purdue would have taken the kid back. Purdue welcomed him back. He just chose to go somewhere where he was actually going to get the play. He would not have gotten to get the play as a senior at Purdue with everything they had at center and whatnot. John Hart was another one where, again, when you lose a guy who's not necessarily contributing for you, what really have you lost? So Purdue's history with the graduate transfer wire isn't particularly unkind to it, at least not to the point where you sit here and you say, we can't redshirt these guys because they're going to bolt for a higher level when they're seniors. That shouldn't happen at Purdue. I mean, if the kid gets through the program and dislikes his coach, he might leave for something else. But if the kid leaves because he dislikes his coach, then you aren't losing a terribly pleasant situation anyway. And nine times out of 10, I don't think Matt Painter is that sort of polarizing guy that people need to get away from as fast as they possibly can. He is very honest with players. That can rub some the wrong way. But that also, those guys probably years later would realize when they've grown up a little bit that they were probably the problem more often than not. But also the fact that he is, you know, pretty honest with players by design is that he does what he can to foster realistic expectations so that players don't feel like they've been lied to, they've been betrayed. Their expectations are in line with what is most likely to happen. And when your experience lines up with your expectations, chances are you aren't going to blame everyone else for your problems and leave. That's not always the route of transfers. And sometimes transfers aren't bad. Sometimes they're a win-win. The list of transfers who've left the program, Purdue's program, who have demonstrably hurt Purdue and made Purdue a worse team the year after is a very short list, if there's a list at all. I think Matt Harms might be the exception to that rule because he's a good player who would have played an important role on next year's team. Not a leading role, but still an important role. But beyond him, there's really nobody who's left this program who Purdue won fewer games the following season because that guy was gone. They got better after Ronnie Johnson left. Scott Martin didn't feel that a bit. Kelsey Barlow, they got, I can't remember the exact circumstances, but I think Kelsey Barlow brought a certain stability. His departure brought with it a certain stability that Purdue needed. I just don't think there's a whole lot of precedent for transfers necessarily hurting Purdue. So I don't know if it's necessarily something you kind of run scared from. You know, Painter, as I said, always wants to take the long view here with this. He wants to get his team to a place where it's old and it stays that way. That is a very difficult thing to do in college basketball nowadays, as evidenced by Purdue's last couple of rosters, where its senior class this year were two transfers who came in for brief stays at Purdue. That's sort of college basketball nowadays, where it's sort of year-to-year personnel management as much as it is the 4 and 5 year build a team kind of model. What Painter's trying to do is get to that place where he's always replacing juniors and seniors with, you know, third year sophomores and whatnot, trying to replace experience with relative experience. And then the relative experience becomes experience. And then you replace that with more relative experience, if that makes any sense. You know, the other part of this very question that's obviously very important to talk about here is that this whole question of whether or not the graduate transfer wire would deter someone from redshirting a player anymore might not matter in a couple weeks, because the NCAA is very likely to pass this legislation that would allow the one-time transfer allowance for players, which would then allow any player at any time to leave the program they start with to transfer somewhere else without having to sit out a year, which is essentially the same thing the graduate transfer allowance has done. Only a player could do it at any point in their career and wouldn't have to graduate from that first school to do it. So transfers would be pretty free and pretty easy if this passes. It won't go into effect most likely until next season. Why it's going to affect, I don't know if anybody's really banging the table demanding this, but I think what the NCAA is doing is trying to make a token sort of gesture to the collective student athlete world in order to kick the can down the road a little bit on actually giving them money. So they're giving them this, even though this might not be the thing that people are riding the streets over, so that maybe that can earn them some goodwill to kick the other thing down the road. I don't know. That's just my personal theory. But the short answer to a long answer here is, it doesn't make any sense. The short answer to the question here about whether or not, you know, the graduate transfer potential would deter Matt Painter from redshirting players, the answer is no. It's something he wants to do. It's something, believe me, in recruiting, people will hammer away at Purdue's recruits at, hey, if you go there, he doesn't play freshman, even though obviously that would defy all body of work. That would be demonstrably false, but that's kind of recruiting nowadays. You have to be prepared for that. Painter's response will be the best players play. And here's 15 years worth of data for you to pour through, but that won't stop recruiters from telling recruits the opposite. So that took a weird turn there at the end, didn't it? Anyway, that's kind of what I got on the red shirt issue and the transfer issue that comes with it. It's Friday, April 17th. This has been your GoldenBlack.com daily quarantine simulcast. It's been brought to you by Thoughts, Purdue Bookstores, Purdue Federal Credit Union, the 6th Street Dive Restaurant, First Source Bank, East End Grill, and the Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. Reminder once again, 6th Street Dive Restaurant Lafayette remains open for carryout orders. Arnie's in its many, many locations around the state remain open for carryout. Bruno's in West Lafayette remains open for carryout. The Whitaker Inn in West Lafayette remains open for carryout. Please, please, please keep them in mind if you're looking for damn good food and you're looking to help our local businesses get through this very difficult time. Thank you again to Kyle for the question. We appreciate you watching. We appreciate you reading. You got any ideas for topics? I suddenly now have a little bit of war chest, a little bit of a war chest built up. But if you have any other ideas, feel free to email me, bnubert, N-E-U-B-E-R-T, at goldenblack.com. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend. If you can differentiate the weekend from the week, we'll talk to you next week.